Good morning, everybody. So good to see y'all. So excited about what the Lord has in store for us this morning, today, and every day from now on. I just want to give Him all the honor and glory. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. For those of you watching online, good morning. We'd love to have you, miss you. And then for those who are watching for the first time, maybe at a later date or even now, we just make yourself at home. And just ask everybody, just turn off everything that's distracting you this morning. Don't worry about the rain. Don't worry about anything going on. God's got it in His mighty hands. Praise Amen. God. Amen. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand.
Jesus, have your
heart. Yes, ma'am. I didn't mean to be that loud. April's husband, Chris, yes, his aunt, his mama's sister, passed away yesterday morning. And we need to remember that family. And April's best friend's stepdaddy, which is like a daddy to her. I don't know all the details, but he's got the COVID and he's got the pneumonia, and they want to transfer him to have surgery and all. But they're only giving him a 10% chance. So we need to also remember that family, please.
Bless him, Lord.
Absolutely. Praise. Yes, we do. Give it all to the Lord. And that's what we're doing. There's so many spoken and unspoken. Those that are on the text, those in our prayer box, those situations that go forth. And if you're watching online and you have a prayer request, just put it in the comments. Because as we come together and we all believe in faith, and we want to ask y'all to be in one mind and one accord this morning. And we're just going to ask God just to touch each and every situation. For those that have lost a loved one, those that have a procedure. Yes, ma'am.
Lisa Jenkins, I don't know if all of y'all know, but they pretty much lost everything they have in the tornado. I don't know how much of their house is still standing. But anyway, she said to thank everyone for their thoughts and prayers. And that, you know, she was telling me that, I said, were y'all at home when it happened? She said, yes, we were in the best sleep, but Jesus woke us up.
Praise God.
And they had just time to get into their hallway before it hit their house. So God is
praise
good.
Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So anyway, she wanted to thank everybody.
No, thank
prayers.
You. Thank you. Absolutely. And there are so many others through the tornadoes and through these storms as it sweeps to the south. And we know this is springtime, and there's so many other storms as I don't know enough about weather to know, but when it's this time of year, it comes in pretty wicked sometimes. We just thank God for protection. And for those families that's lost loved ones because of the storms, we ask God just to lift them up and just guide them through all that we do. Well, with this prayer, we're just all going to go to the Lord this morning. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come to you, dear Lord, we just want to release every situation, every prayer request, every need, dear Lord, just to put it in your mighty hands. Lord, thank you for protecting those through the storms. Lord, those that have lost their possessions, we know that you can just make everything good and repair. And, dear Lord, we ask you now for those that need healing. Lord, we ask for you to touch each and every one, dear Lord. Some of the diagnoses that come forth, dear Lord, but you are mighty. And, dear Lord, we have testimonies to prove, dear Lord, what you've done. And we know that through faith in you, and, dear Lord, for those that are suffering now that have lost a loved one, dear Lord, we ask for you just to touch them, dear Lord. Let them feel that peace that only you can provide. And, dear Lord, we just ask you again just to be with our service. Lord, bless our pastor and his family, dear Lord, for those that are preparing for procedures, those that need your divine touch. And, dear Lord, we're placing them in your hands, dear Lord. And we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. There is no other. Amen. There is just but one, and that's Jesus Christ. While you're standing, turn to page 177. We had a wonderful Sunday school talking about this time of year, the Passover and Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday as we prepare. And this song is, Are You Washed in the Blood? Praise Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
remain seated if you can. A little invitation to y'all this morning. If you do not know the Lord, or you've not accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, or you feel like you've just walked away or just been pulled away, this is the perfect opportunity you have just to turn it all over to the Lord. And just let Him cleanse you and guide you and direct you in everything that goes forth. Just praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Just praise the Lord. I don't have any announcements up here. Just want to, we do. The lilies? Also, this coming Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, we'll be having the lilies that are being brought in honor of those that have already gone home to be with the Lord. If you would like to bring a lily and dedicate it with it on a card, place who in memory it is of, and it'll be done Sunday morning in our service. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful for the Lord that we have today.
Yes, Lord. This morning, need to see the board members just for a couple of minutes, and also Sister Brenda needs to meet with the Amazing Gracers. If y'all could do that right after service this morning too, we can kind of shuffle it back and forth. But the board members will meet in Brother Eddie's office. It won't take long at all. Thank you.
In the middle of the night, Chris mentioned it in Sunday school, but I'm thankful that the Lord protected us during the storm. So if you know anything about Rockmart, you know where Zaxby's is. That's where Lass works. The tornado came right over Walmart, which our house is not even a mile. And we have a roof leak, but we're going to get that fixed. Thank God we still have a roof. Amen. And God kept us safe. I'm just thankful for His hedge of protection over all of us.
Have you ever stared down a mountain too tall to climb? No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of a Red Sea wrestling doubt? 'Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around.
Can I get a witness?
I don't know about y'all, but Sister Penny and Brother Eddie and Kevin have been on my heart big time. And I know what the Lord has done for me. He's no respecter of person, and I'm believing that He's going to bring them and Kevin through this whole thing. And I want y'all to agree with me in the name of Jesus that God's going to work this out, and that Kevin is going to get what he needs to be done, and God's going to heal his body so he don't have to go through these things. I want us to sing it again. Can I get a witness? I'm a witness of what God can do. Amen.
Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody wanna testify?
Amen.
I praise you
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. He's my protector. How about you? Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Certainly we have several witnesses, amen, of the power and the majesty and the greatness of Almighty God. We do love you this morning. We appreciate the prayers that gone up for the people who were devastated. Some were experiencing storms, but in all of the material loss, thank God that our folks are safe, amen, and they will build again, amen, with God's help and God's grace, amen. They will arise out of the ashes, so to speak, amen, and again be in the recipient of God's grace and mercy. And we also, Sister Penny and myself, want to thank you so very much for the thoughts and prayers, the texts and the phone calls and everything about our situation with Kevin, and he's going to be all right. He's suffered some setbacks before, but God has brought him through so many times. Amen. We are a witness to that fact. Amen. And before I get into to this morning's message, I want to make an announcement too. Next Sunday, as Brother Jim mentioned, it is Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to be having our celebration of the resurrection, but we're also going to commemorate the burial of the Lord and communion service next Sunday morning. Normally, we have a communion service at night, but we will be combining both of those services into next Sunday morning. So come next Sunday morning expecting a time of, first of all, thanking the Lord that he did rise again, and then we will have communion service as well. That'll be next Sunday morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, amen, how many blessed folks we got in the house? Come on, give the Lord praise if you're blessed this morning. We're blessed beyond measure. Sometimes beyond our ability to even comprehend the blessings of Almighty God. But we're so thankful. In Psalms 73 this morning, I want to focus our attention on mainly two verses. That would be verse number 23 and verse number 24 from the Psalm of Asaph and the 73rd Psalm. Psalms 73, verse 23 and 24. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. Reading from God's Word. The psalmist says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we're so thankful. God, we come before you this morning with humble hearts, God, but with expectation of spirit, praying, God, that you would bless and anoint this service, God, as you see fit, asking you, Lord, now to anoint these lips of clay, God, to use this vessel to speak to our hearts this morning. God, we're so thankful for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love, for those who have gathered here this morning. And Father, I pray, God, right now, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would settle over this congregation, God, and lead and guide and direct the service as only you can. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. It has, in fact, been a very eventful week. And as we often say, I just don't understand how folks get by that don't know the Lord. And I find myself so dependent on Him each and every day of my life, and especially this past week as we found out that, you know, so many things are happening around the world and around our own community, and we're so thankful that God was there to see us through these situations. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, After These Things. After These Things. You know, we find that people are people everywhere you go. That is a saying that I've borrowed from my dad for a long period of time. We find that people were people in the days of the old, when the Old Testament was written. And we find that people had many of the same thoughts, feelings, as they do today. And we find here that the psalmist Asaph wrote this particular psalm, basically, if you would, he was presenting a list of grievances to God. Now, I know us Holy Ghost filled people don't ever grieve and list a list of grievances to God when we pray, because by faith we already know everything's going to be all right. Amen? But in our flesh, sometimes we find ourselves weak, and we do find ourselves offering up grievances and accusations maybe and things. Lord, why haven't you done this? And why can't you do that? And why did you allow this to happen? We are just human, even though that we are born again and have faith in an almighty God. And we find here that he mentions in verse 23 and 24, he has a realization, almost an awakening of the Spirit, if you understand and know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when we let the cares of this world burden us down so much to the point that sometimes we let that overcome our spirit, and then we have to pray and ask God for an awakening of the Spirit to let us know that our faith and trust is not in man, but it is in fact in the power of God. So we find here that something has troubled this psalmist for some time. Have you ever had anything in your life that seemed to be a burden? Started off maybe as a little thing, but as long as time passed, it grew bigger and bigger, and it began to fester, so to speak, and it got to where it was almost unable for you to bear. And we realize that those are the times that we need deliverance from God. Many times we try to handle these situations on our own. Many times we try to keep these things concealed from others, and even sometimes from our own family. But there's still something down in there that begins to trouble us. Asaph decided that he would write it in the form of a psalm or a song unto the Lord as a prayer. And he says in verse number 2, to let us know and realize the mindset that Asaph was in, he said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Don't know if you've ever been in that situation spiritually, mentally, or even physically when it seems like you've just about gone as far as you can go. Your steps are slipping. Your heart is almost gone because you don't feel that desire to go forward or to move forward. And many times, these are the times that we find that we are even closer to God than when things are going normal and well. So the psalmist here begins to list some of the things, and he says that basically presents a list, and I may not have all of them covered, but I want to cover some of those this morning. We find that he says that he was envious, basically, of the foolish and of the wicked. Now, what would in fact cause a man of God, one that was true to the Lord and living as much as possible a holy and righteous life before God with the help of God, look around to see and begin to be envious of those that are in the world that in fact do not have a relationship with God? It's because Satan began to show him things that those in the world were experiencing, and from the naked eye it looked like their life was better and more in control than his life. And he couldn't understand this because he was endeavoring to live a righteous life before the Lord, holy and dedicated. But many were problems and many trials in his life. And he looked around at some of these people who were not in a relationship with the Lord, and it seemed like their life was smoother and more manageable than his. And he said he was envious of their prosperity. It seemed like they were able to prosper. And we have to realize that our reward is not down here. The Bible talks about many times, Jesus himself gave the parable of the rich man and of Lazarus the beggar. And for the naked eye, it looked like the rich man had everything better. Said he fared sumptuously, and meaning that he had plenty to eat, he had plenty to wear. He didn't want or lack for anything. But poor Lazarus was a beggar who sat, and he was dependent on the crumbs or what anybody else might offer to him, and did not know if he would have anything to eat, did not know if he would have a place to lay his bed. But the Bible says both of them died. How many knows that death is imminent unto us? We must face death unless we're caught away in the rapture when Jesus comes. So they both faced death. But the one who fared sumptuously in the world
did not go to that heavenly reward. The parable says he, in fact, went to hell. And Lazarus, who was poor and destitute in the world, was able to go and be in the bosom of Abraham, signifying that he went to his heavenly reward. Many, many times we have to realize that maybe we look at people that are not living for the Lord, and it may look like they got everything together. It may look like their life is easy and their life is more prosperous than ours. But we got to understand that when we leave this walk of life, there is absolutely nothing we're going to take with us. And let me just go ahead and say, there's nothing we're going to have need of. Amen. Everything that we thought was so important to us is going to be left behind, because the way that I read the Bible, everything that we're going to need has been prepared for us by our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have nothing to hang our head about. But many times the adversary will jump up on your shoulder and he'll say, look how good they got it, and look how miserable your life is. Well, just to let you know, he did that also to the psalmist. Let him look and begin to realize that others seemingly were better off than he was. Not only was he envious of their prosperity, but he said that they did not seem to suffer as others. I have known of many precious saints of God who have had to battle sickness and affliction most the entire of their lifetime. Many of those precious saints of God who have been afflicted, who have had to carry situations in their life. And, you know, those of the world will say, if God is really a God of love, why does he allow that to happen to his people? Man, you know, again, the Bible does not assure us that we'll never have any problems or we'll never have any trials or sickness. Job himself not only lost everything, but was covered in boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. But Job never charged God. He never blamed God. He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, the one thing that the devil can't understand as that we may lose everything in this life, but as long as we got Jesus, amen, as long as we got a relationship with him, we have everything that we're ever going to need. So the psalmist said they don't even seem to suffer as others. They retain their good health. Can I tell you, they're living and they're celebrating their reward here, those that do not know the Lord Jesus, those that do not have a relationship with him. And it worried him, troubled him so much so that he said even trouble seems to evade them. You know, many children of God are constantly battling troubles and problems and trials, as the children of Israel did. There's been a lot of discussion about the children of Israel, God's chosen people. God so loved the children of Israel. And even after they were in Egyptian bondage for some 430 years, and after God miraculously sent the plagues upon Egypt and hardened the heart of Pharaoh and finally allowed Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, we find that no sooner were they in the wilderness than they began to have problems and situations, and many of them wanted to return back to Egypt because of problems and situations. Let me tell you something. God never promised us that we wouldn't have problems, but he did promise us that I won't leave you and I won't forsake you. I will, in fact, go all the way to the end with you. And how many knows that we can count on the promises of God? Trouble seems to evade them. And here I am facing trouble sometimes on a daily basis. He went on to say that they are prideful. God, that's against your word and against your direction. But yet, they don't seem to suffer any consequences for being prideful. Not only are they prideful, but many are violent. And I want to tell you, as I began to read this again, I began to almost think that I was reading some current events. Because I have heard, we have said, we have maybe thought it if we didn't say it. Why are these people that are creating so much disturbance in the world allowed to prosper? They seem prideful. They seem that they don't suffer any consequences for it. Can I tell you, the best is yet to come? Can I tell you, our reward is not here. I'm looking for a place, amen, after these things have happened. Listen, all we can see and all the psalmist saw were the things that were transpiring now. But church, I want us to understand, through the Word of God, through His promise, and through the infilling of His Spirit, we should not dwell on the things that we see with our naked eye, but we would in fact look through eyes of faith to see what's going to happen after these things come to pass. After these things are gone behind us. Amen. The best of my life is yet to come. Glory to God. I'm going to a place where there's no problems. I said, I'm going to a place where there's no sickness. I have a place. I have a reservation. Amen. Jesus Christ Himself has paid my ticket through the shedding of His precious blood. Amen. And through a contrite and broken spirit, I repented of my sinful nature and said, Lord, I don't care about this. I only care about that is to come. And thank God, through His promise, I'm longing for the day after these things are temporal, meaning they're temporary. My home is eternal, meaning it's never ending. My new lifestyle, amen, is eternal, meaning that I'm going to have a brand new body forever and ever and ever with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many are violent. They seem to have much worldly gain. You know, the psalmist here was not the only one who noticed that. Many of the early patriarchs of the Bible, David himself, on more than one occasion, would look at the lives and the lifestyle of other people and wonder why they prosper. David said, they don't even recognize you. They don't serve you. Lord, I'm doing everything that I can to walk a holy and righteous life. And why are they allowed to prosper? This question has been going on for as long as humanity has been alive. Amen. But I'm simply telling you this morning, we're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at the wrong thing. We need to look through eyes of faith to what the Lord is going to give us, amen, when we receive that reward. Not only do they have worldly gain, but they are corrupt. Does it sound like modern day? We don't understand how people can get by with being so corrupt, with hiding issues and telling lies, and it seems like it doesn't bother the people today to tell a lie. It doesn't matter if they're caught in the lie or not. Have you noticed it's never their fault? It's always the fault of somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. They never accept that fault. And that is a scary situation, because the way that I read the Bible and the way that I understand, until we confess that it is our fault, we cannot repent. If we're always telling God it's somebody else's fault, Lord, and don't blame me, I didn't do it, we'll never get anywhere with God. But if we'll fall in an altar and say, Lord, I know that I have sinned. I know that it is my fault. I know, Lord, that I need to confess with an open heart. Because God, I don't want this lifestyle. It may look appealing to some folks today, but I can stand and tell you today, I don't really care about what they have. I don't really care to desire what they have. I'd rather have Jesus than the whole wide world, because I know with Jesus I have an eternal home with Him. Because I'm living for things after these things happened. Amen. I'm longing for the day when all of this is behind me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a song that says, I've never been to heaven, but I know I've been told. All of God's people walk the streets of gold. Amen. Can't even begin to fathom what it's going to be like. Amen. To walk down those streets of gold. Not have a worry. Not have a care. Amen. There'll be no news channels in heaven. I said, they won't be there. There won't be any bad news to report. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Imagine a place. Imagine a place where there's no more tragedy, where there's no more horrific car wrecks. And we've all been made to see all of these things. And it seems like they're happening greater and greater in the world today. But imagine a place where there's no need for hospitals. Imagine a place where there's no need for dialysis. Imagine a place where there's no more cancer. Imagine a place where there's no more sin, where there's no more darkness, where there's no more wheelchairs, where there's no more crutches. A glorious place. The Lord says, just hold on. Hold on. Because after these things, you're never going to remember those things before. That's the reason I can praise Him through adversity. That's the reason I can lift up my Jesus when everything else seems to fall around us. Because just to be basically honest with you, the things of this world shouldn't really matter. As long as I've got a roof over my head, some food to eat. Glory to God. Don't pray for a cupboard full of groceries. It's like praying for a meal barrel. Lord, let that meal barrel be full and overflowing. Let me tell you, a pantry full of groceries can run out. But if you'll say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, then I won't worry about tomorrow. And I won't worry about next week. I know that I'll always have just enough to sustain me, because my faith and trust is not in the wisdom or the power of man, but my faith and trust is in the power of God. Just enough to sustain me, because I'm not going to dwell here forever. I have a new home, a glorious home provided for me. That eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things, the glorious majesty that the Lord has prepared for those that love Him. Hallelujah. But the adversary would say, yeah, but if God loved you, He wouldn't let you suffer these things. He wouldn't let you have to be experienced with pain and misery and all of these things. Can I tell you, God knows way more than I could ever know. God knows. God has our future in His hand. And He holds us in His hands. Decisions that we must make, if we don't ask God to sanction those decisions, we may, in fact, make the wrong decision. Just recently, in fact, this week. And thank you, by the way, for the thoughts and prayers for Kevin. We appreciate those more than Sister Penny and I could ever convey to you. Our heart has been touched by the outpouring of your passion, your compassion and love, and we're thankful for that. But as we were faced with a decision, do we do it or not? I was sharing with Susan this morning a little bit of when the surgeon came in. He basically described himself, I'm just a technician. I do these things. I'm a surgeon. I'm a doctor. But basically, I'm a technician. Have you spoken with your doctor on the possible consequences of this procedure? And Penny and I go, no, not really. He just sent us to you. Well, then he began to tell us all the things that could go wrong. And I understand. They have to give you a clear and concise picture of what might happen. In today's world of litigation, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I told them. But I've never, in all of Kevin's time, saw where the surgeon lacked confidence in this procedure. And he couldn't give us really any good news that might come out of it. It seemed like everything was bad news coming out of it. So there we were, and he left, and we were talking, and I told Penny, I said, I don't feel right about this. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, we just need to pray. I don't know. If we don't do it, then they say he's at high risk. If we do it, then he said he's really high risk. So the nurse came in, and I told Penny, I said, I'm just not going to do it. Let's just don't do it. Let's just trust God. Don't do it. So then he comes back and basically begins to give us the flip side, I have another procedure. I mean, it'd be the same type of procedure, but it's another device that's much less complicated and much less having access to be infected as the first one, and I feel real good about it, and I've talked to the doctor, and he feels real good about it. So we said, okay, if you feel good about it, then we'll do it. Probably not 20 minutes after they took him in, the doctor comes back. You don't really want to see the doctor, the surgeon, come back in 20 minutes after they've taken your son back. But he comes, he says, everything's fine, he's all right. We're not going to be able to do the procedure. And then he goes into the details why they couldn't, and it really, it's too complicated. Penny can probably better describe it than myself, but he didn't do it. And we just took that as a sign that said it wasn't the time. We didn't get frustrated. We didn't get upset. Hearts were heavy, but we said, Lord, you know better than we do. Amen. We have to trust God. Because if our faith and trust is in the wisdom of man, many, many times we're going to be let down. But you know what? God is still in control. I reminded Sister Penny, we've walked down this road before. We've had doctors stand in front of us and tell us there's nothing else we can do. We've had doctors tell us take him home, enjoy him while you can, because you probably won't live to be school age. He's 43 years old. He's 43 years old. He may not make 44, but let me tell you something. After these things, not only is he going to have a new home, not only is he going to have a new body, glory to God, hallelujah, he'll never, ever suffer pain anymore. It's all a thing of the past. Glory to God. He'll be alive and well in a brand new state, a glorified body. When do you see what's going to happen after these things? After these things. But then Satan jumps on the psalmist and says, yeah, but you're going through this now. Why are you having to go through this now? Why are they prosperous? Why does it seem trouble doesn't bother them? And you live for God, and constantly you're bombarded. In a nutshell, Satan don't have to bother them. They're not giving Satan any problem at all. They're just going about doing whatever he'd have them to do. And whatever their mindset is to do. But those who are striving to live for God, those that know what it is to go up the rough side of the mountain, glory to God, I got news for you. You're almost at the top. I said, you're almost to the crescent. Amen. The very crest. The top. Glory to God. Amen. All of these things that I'm telling you about are not only going to be gone forever, they're going to be gone from your memory banks forever. You'll never remember a bad time on this earth. You'll never remember a pain. You'll never remember a situation. It'll all be wiped away according to the Word of God. No more tears, no sadness, no sorrow, no sickness. No more death. Man. But they're corrupt. And they speak wickedly. Isn't it a shame? We try to watch a family movie and all of a sudden, my Lord, the language is on that. It's supposed to be a family movie. And we have to quickly flip it off. Isn't it a shame that you can walk in grocery stores and shopping malls and hear people's conversation and it's so terrible, corrupt, speaking awful things. Some folks can't even complete a sentence unless they have two or three, four-letter words in it. What has happened? What has happened? Man, Satan has begun to come and he's begun to sear the conscience of the people where they say, I don't have to be answered to nobody. I got news for you. You're going to answer to somebody. May not be down here. But the way I read the Bible, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, and we will, in fact, face the judgment seat of God. That's the reason I need an ambassador. That's the reason I need a mediator. That's the reason I have retained Jesus. He's on my retainer list. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know what? When these convicted felons or whatever, and somebody will ask them something, and they'll say, "You got to talk to my lawyer. You got to talk to Jesus. Satan, get away from me. You got to talk to Jesus." Amen. I'm no longer accountable. He has washed my sins away. He has saved me by His amazing grace. If you got issues with me, take it up with Jesus. Somebody ought to put your hands together that you have Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And then He says some, and I'm paraphrasing here, some even doubt the existence of God. You see, when I grew up, even the evil folks recognized that there was a God. We got folks today that vehemently deny that there even is a deity or a God. You know what? God would forgive them in a minute if they would just come to an altar of repentance. We know that because even those centurions, even those that beat Him, even those that put a crown of thorns upon His head, Jesus looked down and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And that's the troubling factor today. Many of the people that are caught up in this have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea that their soul is hanging in jeopardy right now. It's being in the balances and it's being weighed. And I'm so thankful that God had mercy upon me to make me realize that I could not face the judgment seat of God without being born again. That's something that we must do. Some even doubt the existence of God. And then the psalmist says, "But I, Lord, have cleansed my heart in vain." Now, I don't know if we've ever gone that far. Here the psalmist was being completely honest. He said, "Then Lord, I have cleansed my heart in vain, because they're better off than I am, and they haven't even made a move toward you." But then something happened. In verse number 17, the psalmist says, verse 16 first, he said, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until." Everybody say until. Until changes a lot of things. I was single until I got married. I was happy, and I still am. Something transpired. What caused the mindset to change? And folks, I don't want to speak for you, but I've sort of been there. Where are you, God? Why is this happening? Until I went and found the sanctuary of God. The psalmist says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. They're living for the now. I'm living for then. I'm living after these things. No. Man, until I went to the sanctuary. And that's what caused him to write in verse number 21, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." Couldn't say that for those that he was looking at. "But I am continually with you through the good times, through the bad times, through situations, through sickness, through affliction. I've constantly been able to be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're always with me. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward," everybody say afterward, "receive me to glory. after these things, it's going to all be over. Glory to God. No wonder many of the precious songwriters wrote of those things. Someday, some happy day, wait till we get over yonder. Amen. All of those wonderful songs. Not praising the time and hour that we're living in now, but that glorious promise that is yet to come. Where eye hath not seen. We've already said we don't even have any fathom or comprehension of what God has restored for us or made and put in store for us when we get over there. It's going to be beyond our ability to even comprehend. But you know what? I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be a part of it. Not because of me, not because my name's on this roll book, but because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for me. Amen. And because His precious shed blood has been applied to my sins, and I opened up my heart's door and said, Jesus, come into my life. And He did. And He lives there today. That's the reason that no matter what we face, no matter what comes tomorrow, amen, we have a guide and we have a counsel. The Bible says, sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I have You, Lord, to hold my hand continually to guide and counsel me. Then after this, glory. You will receive me into glory. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to attend a banquet or a sales meeting or something similar to that where you actually go in and your name is at an assigned seat. I don't care who you are. That makes you feel good. That's my name. That's my place. It ain't like walking into Burger King and taking the first vacant seat. It's walking into a really nice place and walking over there and pulling the chair out. And this is my spot. You know, whether you admit it or not, I'm kind of important today. Makes me feel like I'm somebody. I have that name there. And if I don't know if like some people kind of move, I put that name right there on the front. So everybody walks by and see that's his spot. That's his spot. I don't know if that's prideful or it is. God forgive me. But I want to tell you something. I am not going to back into heaven. And thank God, because of His mercy, I'm not going to have to wonder at the gate whether my name is in there or not. Because I've already taken care of that. I believe in planning ahead. Now, His mercy is His and grace is sufficient. And people have made it at the 11th hour, but not me. I won't know right now that my name is in there. And I have an assigned place in heaven. Glory to God. Now get your spiritual mind. It's not going to be like that table, like that. No, it's not going to be. We don't even know. We don't even imagine. But we know that we're going to be there because of His promise. Amen. Because He right now, He's preparing that place for us. But that thing that I want us to understand today, and the thing that hit me more than anything there, was that word afterward. Afterward. Afterward changes a lot of things. Amen. After all of the terrible things that are happening in this world today, and after all of that is gone, out of our memory banks forever, we're going to have a home in heaven, a wonderful place. He went on to say, listen to what he said, and you know, don't read this the wrong way. He, in verse number 25, said, whom have I in heaven but thee? Basically what he said, who do I have in heaven that's more important than thee? You're the main one, Jesus, that I want to see. We all have our loved ones. That's not what he's discounting. He's not saying, I'm not anxious to see them. We will see them again. We have that promise. But who made that possible for all of our loved ones? Who made that possible for us is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there should never, ever be a day that a saint of God don't thank Him for what He done. Not just on Resurrection Sunday, amen, but every day of our life. In fact, probably every breath we ought to be thanking and praising the Lord that He loved us enough to prepare a place, to give us a place and a hope where there'll be no more things like this that we're having to go through. I don't know. I don't know how much more we're going to have to suffer. Somebody said He won't put more on you than He's able to bear. He makes that decision, not me. Not me. Amen. If I made the decision, I'd have cut it off about 10 years ago. Amen. But it's His decision. But I do know one thing. After these things, after all of these things are over, we're going to have a time in heaven. We're going to have a time in glory. Are you ready? Are you ready? Amen. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you made the preparation? Are you intending to and just never got around to it yet? That's a dangerous situation. We don't know. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. We don't even really have the promise of our next breath. Man, we're having a memorial service today for my cousin, my first cousin. I have not known him to be sick hardly a day in his life other than just little minor things. I don't even know if he's actually ever been in the hospital. But they found him dead in his backyard. Just that fast. Just that fast. Life can leave us. Thank God he was a man of God, a servant of God, loved the Lord. Amen. He's born again, and we know where his destination is. But I just said that to tell you, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. But the main thing we do, if we're born again, we have a promise of a home in heaven. Would you stand? God bless you, church. I love you. Love each and every one of you. And as the Bible says, my heart's desire is to see all of Israel saved. My heart's desire is to see everyone saved. You know what? A lot of people think God wants to send people to hell. No, He doesn't. He's trying to keep you out of hell. It is not His will that any should perish, not even one. If you go to hell, somebody said you go there as an intruder. It was never meant for you. Amen. It was meant, heaven is meant for God's people. And if you're not ready, please, please get ready. If not today, please sometime. Because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen. Is there one today that would like to make that decision? Is there one today that's unsure, uncertain about where you'll spend eternity? It's not big because you're a good person. Don't let Satan tell you that lie. Amen. You can be a good person and still not be born again. If you have a doubt, please come. If you need a refreshing, please come. If you have a need this morning, please come. Amen. And we'll pray with you. God bless you. Some of you elders gather around. Help us pray.